Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Mike Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And where is Cousin Shane? I don't know. But I see all the cousins flying in here, so I didn't want to wait. We'll get to Cousin Shane when he gets here, if he's getting here. I literally don't know. I haven't heard from him today. All right, he just texted me. Says we'll be here in around five. Well, it's good to keep a schedule here. Shout out JS Warrior, gave us $20 already. LSU AD Scott Ward, first choice and hire in 2021, is looking for a job this season. If LSU and Brian Kelly don't work out, how quickly does Scott Woodward hit the Jimbo Fisher button? Oh, buddy. We're starting with that already. I love it. I'll give you my thoughts on that in just a second. But as always, got to let the cousins know we are brought to you this football season by MyBookie, the online sports book. Head on over to MyBookie.ag. That's the website. Put in that promo code SEC. It's on the bottom of the screen. It's going to be there all year. SEC. If you put in an initial deposit over at MyBookie, they are going to match your initial deposit 100%. MyBookie.ag. Help us out. Help yourself out, really. But the number one way to help the show grow, go over to MyBookie, sign up for an account, put in an initial deposit, and don't forget that promo code SEC. So, Jimbo Fisher to LSU. I don't think we're ever going to see old Jimbo back in the SEC unless he's willing to swallow his pride and become an offensive coordinator again. And even that, I don't know if I'd want him as an offensive coordinator. He's out there saying he wants to be a head coach. I'm curious to get Shane's thoughts on this because we do got some groomers to get into. And I was going to piggyback that off with Jimbo Fisher. But no, I don't think even if... Hell, I think LSU's better off with Brian Kelly than they are Jimbo Fisher, given all the resources that Fisher had in College Station and the way he kind of ran that damn thing into the ground. So, Gruden to Kentucky. Hey, we'll get into all that when Cousin Shane gets here. Maybe fire away with, maybe you guys got some questions. I don't know. I know who doesn't have a question, though, and that's the legend. Uh-oh, where'd it go? JR. Back again, JR. We appreciate you, buddy. You just gifted a membership. It's a little bit harder to do solo over here. So let me look and see who JR gifted to. Very, very appreciative of you, JR. JR gifted to Drumline Roller. Drumline, welcome to the family, courtesy of the legend JR. Let me play his jingle for him.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR. The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
Twice as nice. Shout out, JR. We appreciate you, buddy. It's funny. Oh, I just saw the best comment so far I've seen of the program. Jimbo could be head coach at Bishop Sycamore. That what a viral sensation that was. I was trying to go to sleep last night, and I was watching the Bishop Sycamore documentary on HBO. It's what a scam artist that guy. He was a loser, man. But what a wild damn story that was. Shout out Ho and Woo Pig. I don't know how to say your name. Sorry, Mike. Are y'all working on merchandise for Cousin's Bird? We've had that for a long time. So it's T Public. It's in the show notes. However you get this podcast, we have a merchandise store with all kinds of stuff you can purchase. We get a small cut of that, so we appreciate it. Gruden, Arkansas. I wanted to discuss that with Shane. I don't know if he's ever going to hop on tonight, but we'll give him a couple minutes here. Da-da-da-da. Oh, Steven up. Shout out, Steven. Gifted a membership. We appreciate you, buddy. See, Steven up's here, even though Shane's too good to show up on time. Steven up's
always
not.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Steven. He's gifted a membership to Clayton NTX. Clayton, welcome to the family. Courtesy, Steven up. We appreciate you. And whoa, we just had a donation here. $20 one. Shout out all you cousins that donate and give memberships. Shout out Bob Winton, $20. Oklahoma Notre Dame Simulation National Championship on YouTube. Won't ruin it for everybody, so I won't say who won, your 82-year-old cousin. Damn, what a national championship that would be, right? Oklahoma Notre Dame this year? Historic, no doubt. I think Notre Dame's in for a rough year. They got a couple SEC teams on their slate. They're gonna lose it. Brett says Cousin Shane is on his second Cracker Barrel dessert. That's probably about right. Hey, shout out. Let's get into the news a little bit here, though. Garrett Nussmeier, they have come out and said what kind of injury he sustained for anybody that missed it. And this is straight from Brian Kelly, so this is no speculation or anything. But LSU quarterback Garrett Nussmeier injured on the practice field. We talked about this last week. Not anything that is going to, you know, derail his season by any means. But according to Coach Brian Kelly, Garrett Nussmeier has a tendonitis in his patella. He does not have a torn ACL. Brian Kelly says on a scale of 1 to 10, this is a 1.5. And Nussmeier was already back at practice. So again, this is not devastating by any means to LSU this season with the injury sustained by Garrett Nussmeier. But I have reached out to an orthopedic surgeon. Shout out my dad, Dr. SEC, we'll call him. But he's telling me basically in layman's terms, because that's what I am here, that this could hinder Garrett Nussmeier all season in terms of his mobility. So does this change anything for LSU's outlook? Garrett Nussmeier, already not the most mobile guy. He can get around a little bit. But I can't remember who we had on the show. Maybe it was Brooks Austin. I can't recall. But somebody that was breaking down these quarterbacks and said, you know, the word is they want Garrett Nussmeier to be a little bit more mobile. That may not be in the cards now with this injury. Again, he could still run around. He's still going to play. Brian Kelly's downplaying the significance of this, but just something to think about with LSU right out the gate with facing Clemson, facing Florida. Hell, even Ole Miss and South Carolina could have good defensive lines to get after Garrett Nussmeier. So particularly that first game, Clemson, if Nussmeier is a little bit limited in terms of his mobility, that very well could be a difference in a game where I believe LSU is the underdog in. So not doom and gloom, but I don't think this is quite something we just sweep under the rug either, if that makes sense. And you know who else I don't sweep under the rug? Although, if I had a big enough rug, maybe I could. Cousin Shane! What's up, buddy?
Oh, sorry about that, man. Sorry. I apologize, guys and girls. You know, here's the thing, Mike, and I'll keep this short. We got college football kicking off here in 2 weeks, right? And
I'm surprised you know that.
Once that happens, I'm on lockdown. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
Until January. So I told everybody, if you got some honeydew stuff you need to get done, you get it done. Mm-hmm. I did that, helped sister-in-law. They're moving and stuff. Had to move some stuff today. So that's a downside of having a truck, you know, because you're the moving guy. But I'm back. I apologize for being late.
The professor is back.
Yeah. I don't know about that, but
school went long, I guess, huh?
Yeah. That's it.
Tiger said Shane had to mix a drink real quick.
Yeah, I was in court, you know. No, wait, court's Sunday, so no.
Hey, I screwed this up so bad before. Oh, Ho Hand Woo Pig just gifted Shane memberships. Shout out. Ho and a woo pig.
Ho hand woo pig.
Okay, thank you. I can't read. That's why you're the professor here. Dang it, my little scroll bar is not going all the way down. I'm having troubles myself here. Here we got Shane Bennett Kerr.
Yeah.
LJ.
Okay.
J Mole 25. I can't tell you how frustrating this is. It's like, it's showing me, but I can't scroll down. Logo, yo, and Jared, Cheryl, you've all been gifted memberships. Welcome
to the family.
We appreciate you. I feel like I'm like zoomed in or something over here, too. That's kind of freaking me out a little bit.
Well, you know, if your co-host had any help, you know, any assistance, this would be a good place to be. Apologize. I'm getting dialed in myself. So,
okay. And then shout out Cody Powell, Shane. Cody just became a member. Cody.
Hell yeah, Cody. Welcome to the family.
We appreciate you. And shout out S. Schwinn. Shane, Texas, go win it all. I'm more than ready to hear you tell me why I'm wrong. Please do it. I love y'all's channel. My pick for SEC college football news. All right, let's tell him why he's right or wrong, Shane. Over at Texas, go win the national championship. Are you buying it?
I'm buying it more than I'm selling it right now. I mean, if I had to pick one way to go, I feel like it's more likely that Texas wins it than them falling below. Wait, what was the other option?
I mean, it was just championship or bust is what he said. He said he's picking them to win it. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Yeah. Why are you wrong? I mean, because it's tough. The problem you're going to run into is later in the year. And I'm not talking November. This is a December team. You know what I'm saying? When you're going to get into those college football playoffs, it's a matter of everybody staying healthy and a little bit of lady luck on your side. And unfortunately, Texas had a little bad luck so far in camp as far as health's concerned. But, you know, also, like you said here, you got to have Arch Manning hit it. So there's a couple of factors that kind of have to come together. But, you know, when we hired Steve Sarkisian down here, we kept building it up to this moment. Everybody thought it was last year. I feel like this is the opportunity to take it to that next step. And you got your quarterback, so let's roll with it. I think it's possible.
Here's where I may not be.
Yeah?
Offensive line. That I'm a little worried about replacing four starters.
Yeah.
All the guys they got coming up, though, all homegrown, all elite prospects. So I'm not saying they're going to be a complete liability, but again, look at early in the schedule, Shane, with Ohio State on the road, Florida on the road. That's your first conference game. Then you got Oklahoma. You got at Georgia. So I would certainly think by Georgia, the offense, and hell, probably even by Florida, you'll have the offensive line in gear. But if not, you know, if there's a hiccup there, and again, what one game won't kill you. Two games won't kill you. But I don't know. I'm just slightly concerned. I think Texas will probably have the best defense. Them and Alabama, I think, and I guess Georgia. But really, I'm giving the edge to Texas. Texas best defense.
Let me ask you this. Let me reword it. Mm-hmm. Is it more likely they make the playoffs or miss the playoffs?
Make the playoff.
And I feel like once you're in that dance, now is when things get tighter. And you're talking about the offensive line. Hell, they just lost a kind of a swing guy there on that offensive line. So that's what you got to have late November, early December going in there. And I think kind of hindered them a little bit with the running backs banged up last year. You know, they had some injuries as well. So
yeah, if it's just championship or bust,
that's
I'm not taking any Georgia, Bama, none of them. I'm not. I would take the field over one. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Yes.
Hey, shout out Bear SEC. Shane just gave us $20. Seeing cousin Shane appear on screen has the same effect on me as my wife walking through the bedroom in lingerie. Howdy, Teddy. He says, "Whoa, buddy." So hey, there you go, Shane. That's quite the compliment.
Yeah, that's the first one for me, you know.
Say something nice about Ole Miss for him.
Are we doing our over-unders yet?
Well, we can. Yeah, okay. Let's table that for just a second. So shout out, Bear. Okay. Bear. We got something nice apparently coming for you. But I did want to hit you with this. So
yeah,
that was the show topic. I asked Shane to come prepared. I didn't tell him to show up on time. My mistake. I should have told him to show up on time. But I did tell him to think ahead. So yeah, we're going to do guaranteed over unders. I don't know Shane's. He doesn't know mine. I'm just kind of curious to see where we land on these. But before we get to that, I got to ask Shane. I put it in the thumbnail and everything. This got me over the moon. I don't know about you. A lot of people ask about the origins of this podcast, Shane.
Yeah.
Even before Shane jumped on here, I mean, I pretty much started this damn thing to talk about groomers.
Yes.
Because it was a hot rumor, John Gruden to Tennessee. Is it finally happening, Shane? Will we finally have groomers back on the podcast? It's been far too long. Anybody that missed it, I don't have the video, but I think it was down at I think he was visiting with Georgia, I think is what it was. And here's a direct quote from Mr. John Gruden, Shane. I'm being honest with you. I do not bullshit either. What a quote. I want to coach again. I'd die to coach in the SEC. I would love it. I would fucking love it. That's a direct quote from John Gruden. So naturally, I got to ask, Shane, best spots for John Gruden to come back in the SEC. I got five. I think all five of these, they may even fire their damn coach tomorrow if they knew they could get John Gruden. I've ranked them in order, I think, for the best fit for John Gruden. Would you like to hear my list before you I don't know if you had any thoughts on it.
You could go ahead and tell me yours. I'll tell you where it's going to be.
Okay, so number five, I mean, everybody that saw this, the number one reaction I saw.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's fair because it's just, I think this fan base is ready for their next coach. They're ready to move on. So naturally, let's go get them. Number five, I got the Arkansas Razorbacks. Mm-hmm. They're you know, again, every nice thing you say about Sam Pittman, I've said time and time, I think he's actually an underrated coach. People will disagree with that. But, you know, John Gruden, I think he would certainly consider the Arkansas job, Shane. And for those that don't remember, I'm sure diehard Razorback fans are aware of this. Before they hired Sam Pittman, Shane, they interviewed Deion Sanders.
Yes.
And this was before Colorado, obviously. This was before even, Jackson State. So they're willing to think outside the box and get a candidate that, you know, maybe, I don't know if you want to call him unconventional or anything like that, but I think Arkansas would make that move in a heartbeat. Would you thoughts on Arkansas?
I think Arkansas would be nuts if they didn't take the opportunity. I just don't know, because I think of it as tiers. I think John Gruden is, whether you like him or not, I think he's in a tier that requires a certain prestige, and and I would love to see him there. I believe he'd put Arkansas right back on the map, but I don't know if Arkansas can afford John Gruden.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I think you nailed it. So that's why I put him number five, right?
Yeah.
They may want him.
Yeah.
But a couple I've got to pass first.
Yeah. I mean, you interviewed Deion because Deion was, you know, a big name, but he didn't carry that high probability, you know, that high paycheck, if you will.
Right.
But now it's kind of switched.
Exactly. All right. Number four, Shane. These fans think I hate him. No, you get John Gruden. You're right on my, you move up to the number one on my board, perhaps, Shane. How about them Auburn Tigers? Okay, get Hugh out of here. He stacked the talent. I get it. So, you know, this could be a damn dream scenario. You put old John Gruden down in Auburn. Maybe all of a sudden we're rooting for Hugh Freeze to fail. If we can get John Gruden, I think this is obviously a program that can win the SEC. This is a program that can win a national championship. I think John Gruden at Auburn, buddy, now we're cooking. Now, could you imagine John Gruden going up against DeBoering and Kirby Smart on an annual basis? I think that would be a home run for Auburn.
Auburn would explode. The play, I mean, you talk, they would start rolling them trees right now, and it would happen every day until he rolled out there with a clipboard. So, yeah, you better damn believe Auburn would love the opportunity. But, again, they're all in the Hugh Freeze camp right now.
Oh, yeah. No, this is behind closed doors. They're saying, oh, can we get Gruden? You know what I mean? They're not getting out in front of this. Not yet.
I love Hugh Freeze. But, man, I mean, if it doesn't work out.
All right, number three on my board, Shane. And I don't know if you saw this. You know, again, Gruden's kind of been doing this now. I didn't realize at the time he's doing it for literally any school that'll send him any package, apparently. But the first one I saw was this university, and this guy went, John Gruden went hog wild over this damn box of you know, memorabilia and gear and everything they sent to him. The first one I saw, Shane, was Oklahoma. Come on down. John Gruden at Oklahoma. I know Brent Venables, they say, hell, he's a nice guy. We're rooting for him, yada, yada, yada. Would you switch him for John Gruden? Hell, I would. You know, I mean, I know he's a good defensive coach, but John Gruden at Oklahoma, you know, if things go sideways, I could realistically see this being the landing spot for John Gruden, you know, here in a couple months. What's your thoughts on that?
One of my favorites right here. Again, I mean, I love Brent Venables. I do love the story. I mentioned this the other day on the Hangover show. I'm deep down inside rooting for this guy. But if it does not work this year, I am all for bringing John Gruden in. But you're talking about planting the flag like Baker Mayfield. That's exactly what you're doing with this coaching staff if you go out here and you get a John Gruden, because overnight this program will be back to relevance.
All right, and then number two, I don't think you're going to like this because you're high on this team. Give me LSU, Shane. If old Brian Kelly does not get to the playoff.
Yes.
We had Bobby Burton. I put the clip out this week. 8-4, 8-see your ass. You know what I mean? So if it's that bad, if it goes sideways that bad, I think LSU would be wise to get into the groomers.
Yes.
Thoughts on John Gruden at old LSU?
I like it. And I think it's very realistic that it could happen. You know, both camps. This is an LSU team that if I was a coach coming into the SEC, you really want to compete with the nightmares down there in Athens? Then you go over there to LSU and you roster a group of boys that can do it. So I think LSU would be a destination that John would love to go to.
Right. Well, and then number one on my board, Shane. Now, I know you ain't going to like this one. He's famous down here in this state. He's won a Super Bowl. Give me them Florida Gators, Shane. He wouldn't even have to move that far. And again, we have diehard Gators on here. That ain't sold on old Billy Napier. You know, so again, the way I'm looking at it is if things go sideways, Shane can't get this schedule out of his nightmares. you know, this is a move that could be made quickly. And, you know, I think even though DJ Lagway, who's the biggest Billy Napier fan in the world, I think it's the only way you keep a DJ Lagway.
Yeah.
You hire John Gruden, you say, hey, we all know your end goal is to go to the NFL.
Uh-huh.
There's literally not going to be anybody better you could go to. You could stay here. You could stay with the same players. John Gruden is a hell of a coach compared to old Billy Napier. Now, this could be the dream scenario for the Florida Gators if things don't work out for Billy Napier. Thoughts on John Gruden to Florida?
Knock on wood if you're with me. Yes, I would obviously, you know, similar to, I guess, kind of an Auburn situation. I think Florida fans, they're like, okay, this is the last chance. You've like really screwed up everything up to this point, but I love this team. I love our quarterback. I love our odds here. And I mean, hell, they're back in the top 17. How can you not say Florida Gators are kind of back? But if you have a couple early losses, then all of a sudden those guys are saying, hey, we're not putting this together for NIL anybody. We're doing this for buyouts and we're getting him out of here. Absolutely think this would be a fantastic spot for a guy like John Gruden to land.
Uh-huh. And then last, I mean, I know, I think I already know the answer, Shane.
Yeah.
But would you trade Heupel for Gruden?
Heupel for Gruden? No.
No. Okay.
I'm all in.
I'm glad you didn't hesitate there.
But he is up here. You know, I see, I've talked to several people that he's in this area. He's in East Tennessee. Yeah. And everybody knows his wife. And
his wife went to Tennessee. Yeah, he's a cheerleader, Shane.
I know. He loves Calhoun's. Oh, John Gruden. Oh, man.
Well, you know who we love? Dylan Head, Shane.
Hell yeah.
Just became a member to the channel. Welcome
to the family.
And also shout out Thor, Shane. Thor Kane gifted 5 memberships.
I got these names if you need them.
Yes, sir.
I got Wesley Looney. Uh-huh. I got Snaker 2015. Willie Eubanks 4898. Floorlot and Shagadelic Spy.
Welcome to the family. We appreciate you, Thor.
What a cool name.
And then Stringer Films also says, hey, I want to see Gruden devil fisting cowbells. I mean, yeah, that would make sense, too. You know what?
He'd do it. He would do it. I just, you know, Gruden to go to Mississippi State, and I'm not just being mean. I just feel like he has to be out of coaching for a little bit longer. And he has to be, like, kind of away from Barstool. And, I mean, people are, they're all on it right now. It's like a Jeff Fisher coming back. Then I could see that being a Mississippi State move.
Yeah. All right, Shane.
Yeah.
On to the show topic. Oh, wait, we had one more. Shout out Harmon, J.C. Vaughn,
come on, cuz. Welcome to the family.
We appreciate you, brother. On to the show topic, Shane.
And just side note, mm-hmm. we're going to do a bit of a deeper dive into this tomorrow morning on SEC Hangover. So be sure to be there at 7:30 because I've got some pretty funny photos for you.
Wait, are you talking about updated groomers?
Yeah.
This show is just going to be groomers from here on out.
Crank it up, man. You know what I'm saying? Let's do it.
All right, guaranteed over-unders, Shane.
Yes, yeah.
I don't know about you, but I think I'd kind of like to start with the guaranteed unders.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How's that sound?
Sounds great. Absolutely.
All right, so I ranked mine. I don't know if you did.
Yeah. I didn't rank them, but I got three.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to go in reverse order personally.
Okay.
Meaning this first one, I know this is confusing, but the first one I give out, even though this is a guarantee, mm-hmm. I'm least confident in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They'll get stronger as I go. So number three on my board, guaranteed under.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss, 8.5. Again, I think we're getting wrapped up in the schedule. Like, oh, buddy, they should be favored in every damn game except maybe two. And they got Lane Kiffin. All Lane Kiffin does, win 10 games, right? So
yeah.
Even though, you know, shout out Pick Six Previews. Go check out that interview. I dropped it this weekend if you missed it. Had the second best team in the country last year. Dropped three games. So if you have the second best team and you drop three games, imagine if you have like the 15th best team, how many are you going to drop? So I think Ole Miss probably going to go 8-4. Again, I'm not saying like 4-8 or anything crazy, but I think 8-4, that gets you the under. I think Ole Miss takes, I've been saying the same damn thing all offseason. Ole Miss takes a big step back. Give me the under in Ole Miss.
Do you think I have a little bit to do with this? I mean, because I've been pretty negative about them Ole Miss Rebels coming into this season. Do you think, because I've come around on a few teams like Texas A&M, even the Florida Gators, as much shit as I give them because of you. Do you feel like I've kind of brought you back to reality with Ole Miss here?
Shane, you are such a sunshine pumper that when you're down on someone, I'm like, you know what? He's right. You know, there's no way they do it, you know?
Yeah, because I'm right there with you. And I apologize for Cuz telling him I was going to give him some good news. But this is unfortunately a bad season, in my opinion, for Ole Miss. I feel like you, Mike, this is one that's more likely. It wouldn't blow my mind if this is an 8-4 team, which I still think that's success coming away from the best team that, you know, coach has ever had in Oxford. But it's not the last best team that they've had down there. I just feel like naturally this is a program that's going to have some growing pains early in the season, and I would expect Ole Miss to be closer to a 7-5, 8-4 season.
And imagine, again, we've also said this, Shane, imagine the day you hired Lane Kiffin,
mm-hmm.
saying, man, 8-4, that's a down year.
Mm-hmm.
You would have signed that in blood. You know what I mean? So, and again, hell, I mean, damn near every team in this conference would take that.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
You know? All right, number two, most confident, guaranteed under. And this would have been higher if the number was a little bit higher, but give me Kentucky, Shane, 4.5. I know that's just the more we go on, if you want a good time, go over to Nick Roush's Twitter, and because he's trying to like brainwash himself that Kentucky's going to be good. They're going to be awful this year. I hate to, Thor, I really appreciate the donations, but we got to keep it real here. And I don't see it. I mean, they're lucky if they get to four wins, I think. So give me Kentucky. Give me the under. I'm very confident on this one.
This is not good that we're double cursing this thing, brother. I've got two teams on my list for under, and you've already exposed two of them because I'm right there with you. I feel like Kentucky takes another step back, and maybe you got to hit the bottom before you start back up the hill, but I feel like there's going to be some tough questions being asked in Lexington in November about the future of this program because of how bad I think the on-field production will be.
Right, and so just the fact that we're both on these unders guarantees that they're going to go
back,
over.
They're back, baby. They're back.
Hey, shout out Marty Funkhauser, Shane. Auburn, Oklahoma, Florida, South Carolina. One of these teams is going to completely going to come completely flat and be big disappointment? All can't be good. Which one is it? Auburn.
Let's see. Is that last one Southern Cal?
South Carolina.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to go. Well, that was an easy one. But Florida. I'm going to go with the Florida Gators here, which is not on my under list. It's a tough little spot where they're at as far as betting lines. So not my third under. Who do you got for your third?
Ooh, number one, Shane. Most confident. Sorry, buddy. Tennessee, come on down as camp gets going. And we got fall camp updates coming up here, Shane. All these about nine teams here, I think. Man, the more I hear, again, I'm not doom and gloom over here, but I don't know. 8-4, I think, would be a good year. I realize the schedule. Maybe I'm just getting fooled by some of the early reports out of camp, getting players arrested. We'll get to that. But I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't think this is a year for old Rocky Top here.
Oh, Mikey. I don't know why you do this. I don't know why you just get me fired up, you know, before the week starting. I don't understand it. Now, when it was sitting there at 9, I get that because I feel like this is a 9-3, 10-2 team. I really do. But 8, it's not going to happen. That's crazy talk. But my third one is also in the state of Tennessee. It's just a little closer to home, Mike. Oh, no. Give me Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt Commodores. Here's the thing about these guys. Was last year awesome? Yes. Was this year going to be awesome? I think so. But there's a lot of bulletin board material being put out there. And Mike, I really think that this is a year Vandy wins 3 games. And unfortunately, I think it's the Bucks. I think it's Georgia State, and I think it's Kentucky, and Utah. But I just don't. I forgot they're on there. I do not see a fifth win on this board. In fact, I'm not convinced that they beat Kentucky. I'm not convinced that they get past all the non-conference games here. You know, so I just feel like another thing that concerns me is how physical Pavia plays. Got banged up last year, got a lot of injuries. I mean, the guy is literally the oldest quarterback in the country right now, and you're telling me that he's going to survive 12 games, 8 of those in the SEC. I'm not convinced with that. He is just a tough character. You know what I'm saying? He does not run out of bounds. He's not afraid of a hit, but I think that catches up to him. I'm not convinced that Diego makes it to the end of the season, so give me the under here.
Michael Dunlap agrees with you. Pavia is a cornball. Gamecocks hanging 50 on them boys. Well, how about the facts, Shane? I mean, we played it. Remember, he said the backups laid off the ladies, so even the backup quarterback's good to go. So even if Pavia misses some time, they're solid there. Man, I can't disagree more. We'll get to that in just a second. Guaranteed over, Shane.
Yes.
I almost put Bam on here.
Yeah.
But I'm more confident in Georgia to go over. The schedule, always, you know, very difficult. Obviously, Kirby Smart, none too happy last year about the schedule. But we flipped, you know, most of the tough games, I think, are at home. Tennessee on the road, people are circling. But just, again, more I hear out of Tennessee, the less that game concerns me personally for Georgia. At Auburn, you already know what I think about them. I would be stunned if we don't win 10 regular season games in Athens.
I'm right there with you, Mike. I feel like this is a 10-win, 11-win season, you know, and I don't know if it was because of the John Gruden conversation I heard earlier, but I got fired up, you know. They are the measuring stick, and he's right. He talks about that in this little meeting he had, that this is the team that's owned the SEC here the last couple of years, and I don't think they take a step back here. And taking a step back is losing 3 games. It's not happening. Give me the over on Georgia as well. Also one of my favorites.
Hey, shout out to Shane Bear, SEC again. Hearing Kirby's already on the phone with Chris Brazel, Tennessee player. That
got I'm sure that we're back, baby, right? We're back. Yeah, it feels like 98 again, huh?
All right, second most confident over, Shane. I know you're going to like this one. MIZ, 7.5. Again, all we got to do is hit 8-4 with this schedule. I mean, we wake up and roll out of bed, and Missouri can get 8-4
yes.
based on their recent track record. So unless things go seriously off the rails here, Missouri over 7.5. This is almost my number one most confident.
You know, believe it or not, not on my list, Mike. Ooh. Not on my list. You'd think they would be, as much as I love this football team. But the one that I'm the highest on is your Auburn Tigers. Come on, 7.5. Talk about printing money. You should be over there right now at my bookie, promo code SEC, and loading up on this one, because this is a team that I think is back, all the way back. They ain't going to be able to hire Gruden when you're hoisting the SEC championship trophy at the end of the year. Come on, Auburn Tigers. Let's go.
Oh, man. They're closer by not making it the over, you know?
Oh, yeah, man. I feel like.
You're all in on Auburn.
I'm all in. I'm absolutely all in.
What about all these Oklahoma fans that think Jackson Arnold, you know, can't complete a pass?
You know, how many times have you seen a quarterback leave this conference and just freaking kick ass? You know, I go back to Nate Peterman. You know, I go back to what was the kid that left Florida because of steroids, and then he goes up to West Virginia and comes up. I mean, he kicked Tennessee's ass early.
Yeah,
in the season.
His name was Will.
Yeah,
something.
I mean, it's just. I'm terrible at names. The kid went to Oregon.
Bo Nix? Geez.
Yeah, Bo Nix. I mean, it's like when these guys leave the SEC and they go to a new place, a new home, it feels like more times than not they excel. And I think that you can't say he's going to fail and not also say there's a chance that he succeeds, that maybe we just didn't give him enough time. Maybe the coordinator actually sucked. Maybe they didn't have an offensive line. Maybe they didn't have any receivers to throw it to. There's a lot of things that was kind of going against Jackson last year. And I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but if he blows it up, you know, week three, week four, then I'm back out on him. You know, let's bring Deuce in.
Yeah. It was Will Greer. Shout out Liquid for letting us know. But da-da-da. Hey, Shane, we had another. I want to highlight him here. Da-da-da-da. Man, so many donations. So thankful. Coach Beyer, Shane, gifted 5 memberships. I had them all lined up here, and then it moved again. Shout out, Coach Beyer, Shane. Oh man, I hope this isn't a bad thing. Black Indian, that's his name. Austin Rodriguez, Lucas. Brass, Tennessee Fan 123, and Preston Hodge.
Welcome to the family.
Courtesy, Coach Beyer. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, he's in the spirit. He's in camp mode.
He's in cancer, wearing his whistle everywhere, you know, just yelling at people. I love it.
Wait, so you gave us, how many did you give us guaranteed overs?
I gave you 2. You ready for the third one?
I'm ready. My number one, Shane, and I feel great now that I know that they're on your shit list, basically.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt, 4.5. It's more about the number than anything. I mean, hell, all we got to do is go 5-7.
Yes.
After winning 7 games last year, and I think Vanderbilt's going to be not just like a little bit better. I think they're going to be much better this season than they were last year. So I don't know. I don't know what you're smoking, buddy. I don't know what all these haters. I think Diego Pavia, maybe he just talks a little too much and it's rubbing people the wrong way. But I think what it's doing, Shane, is changing the narrative there on the West End. I think it's giving that team confidence that they can go out there. Hell, he just went on national television. Paul Feinbaum said, you know, the goal is to win the national championship. And hell, even Paul laughed in his face. All that's going to do is fuel this guy, fuel this team to prove people wrong. Vanderbilt, 5-7. I mean, that's the lock of the century right there.
I don't care what he says, man. I mean, it's like me telling you I'm going on a diet tomorrow. How many times I told you that? I've got a new adventure. I've got a new elliptical. I bought a new rower. You know, tomorrow I'm dialing in. Yeah.
But the difference is Diego has backed it up. Not backed it up.
I mean, he said he was going to the playoffs last year, and he didn't back it up. You know what I'm saying? So,
He went to the bowl game. That's a playoff.
That is not a playoff. That's not how the college football playoff worked. But, hey, look at Travis Jones send a little cash our way. I appreciate you, cuz. Texas wins the SEC. Arch wins the Heisman. Texas wins Natty. Cousin Mike's head explodes. hook 'em horns.
That might actually end me right there.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that he brings that up because I was thinking about picking this one because obviously they're going 8-4. But I did not, Mike. The easiest bet on this board is my LSU Tigers. I think this is a football squad. You know, whether you're worried about, I'm not worried about Nussmeier. I'm not worried about this defense anymore. I'm not worried about this offensive line anymore. I feel like this is a team poised to do some special things. Do they got a tough schedule? Sure, but so does everybody in the SEC right now. I feel like at the end of the year, LSU is one of those teams that will be making the playoffs. And to do that, you've got to win 10 games. So give me big time over LSU Tigers.
Go
Tigers.
Wow.
And then we have to keep Coach Kelly for another 4 years.
Ooh, I just love the fact that we're like split on so many of these. So that,
yeah,
you know, that gives me confidence that we're gonna have one hell of a year here. You know what?
It's just gonna be messy, and I love that messy football, messy records. It just makes for great entertainment. And every single Saturday when we turn on the TV, we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we'll sit over here and on our little screens and our little jokes, and we'll tell you how Team A is going to kill Team B. And then when that doesn't happen, your mind will not be blown because this conference does have a lot more parity than it's had ever. And I feel like every single Saturday it's going to be an absolute bloodbath. I cannot wait for it to get here.
Hey, shout out Chase Moore. Chase. Remember, for 7 months, Mizzou's the easiest over in the conference. Next is Vandy, MIZ.
I like Mizzou. I feel like it's an over, but the Vandy thing, let's stop. Let's stop playing that.
Shout out Bradley Pritchard. Shane, you give us $5. Florida and A&M need to lower their expectations like Hugh Freeze is lowering his golf score.
Jeez, I love it. I absolutely Cousins fired up too, man. That's one thing I've noticed. There's a lot of fighting in the comments these days. Look here. Look at Ollie. Diego beat the second best team in the nation, according to Lane Kiffin.
Yeah. There's so many. I appreciate all of them. I feel like I may have missed one or two. Shout out Cousin Sven, Shane, member for 10 months. Arch Manning could not beat out a seventh round pick and help Texas to win anything. Sark doesn't win big games. Washington, Georgia, Ohio State, he had his shots. That's the biggest thing. That's my biggest complaint with old Sark, Shane.
Yeah.
Which, again, I mean, he's getting a team there.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just keep chopping at that wood. You know, Michigan for years under Harbaugh is like, well, they can't win a big game.
Yeah.
So I get it, because that's my critique of him, too. I'm surprised Texas fans are not more critical. I mean, hell, how he lost that Washington game, I'll never know. I don't think they had any business losing that. Should have played in the national championship. And even last year, Shane, I mean, the big games got smoked by Georgia,
mm-hmm.
lost to Georgia again, Ohio State. I mean, those are the three games they played with, like, equal talent.
Yeah.
They couldn't get it done. So I still question whether Sark is a championship coach, but it's hard to argue with anything he's done up to this point, aside from winning that elusive national championship. But he's got him right there knocking on the doorstep.
Let me ask you, one of the cousins asked here, it's Vol Tiger. I'm worried about BK if they lose to Clemson. And let me just word it this way, Mike. If they do beat Clemson, how confident are you they hit the over? Like on a scale of 0 to 100.
If they beat Clemson.
If they beat Clemson, yes.
Probably 80%.
And if they lost that game, what would that number be?
Less than 50.
Like, I thought it would be low. I would honestly say that's how pivotal that matchup is. If they lose to Clemson, I think it's closer to like 30. I feel like the wheels could kind of fall off on this team a little bit. Not tremendously, but I now look at the Florida game as a tough matchup. Ole Miss, even though I'm down on them, mm-hmm. you know, could be an absolute dogfight. South Carolina coming up. But if they beat Clemson, I like them in every single matchup until November 8th. So
here's the problem with that. Because, I mean, that's fine to say that and think that. But
yeah,
I just think college football is just – remember like last year, South Carolina, they looked like dog shit the first week. By the end, they looked like they could beat anybody in the country.
Yeah,
Alabama beat Georgia. And we're thinking, God, are they ever going to lose? Then they lost the next week to Vanderbilt. The loss to Oklahoma wasn't very good. You know, I just think the season is such a unique thing. Like A&M, they look like dog shit against Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And then they went on a tear. They looked unbeatable. And then the final month, they couldn't beat anybody. I think it's such a wave. I don't really buy into one game. Remember Kentucky beat Ole Miss. We're saying, oh, Kentucky's back. They didn't win a damn conference game after that. You know what I mean? It's just. I don't know. I don't think we could put any declarations on one game. I really don't.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't agree with you, but the situation is a little bit different down there in Baton Rouge, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Just because they are throwing words out like national champs. You know, they're down there talking about a potential Heisman quarterback. And, you know, it's like we're talking about all the positive things that are floating around this program. And I think it's a little bit different in South Carolina. Nobody early last season was talking about South Carolina going to make the playoffs, Kentucky making the playoffs, Texas A&M making the playoffs. Yeah, they had some ugly, even LSU. I think that was one of the biggest surprises was losing that USC game. So I feel like that's the just kind of the ugly part of this, because when we got to the end of last year, we were wanting to fire Coach Kelly. And now we're kind of forgot. I mean, we haven't forgot, but we're not talking about it near as much. And this is a program that I feel like is very fragile in that locker room. And if some shit like that happens early in the season, I feel like it could hurt them more than it could hurt some of these other teams.
Shane, woo damn pig, gave us $20. Cousin Shane, you have forgotten the bottom we came from. We have got to humble yourself. And remember, the Hogs are taking Tennessee and almost every team to the wire. Watch out for that big damn red pig now.
I tell you, it's funny. And he did 99 because we know what happened with that Tennessee-Arkansas game in 99.
Shout out DJ Peabody. Just became a member, Shane.
All right, come on. Welcome to the family.
We appreciate you. But, hey, last thing on your point. I think, you tell me if I'm wrong, maybe I am. I don't know if I've ever been wrong before, but I think the bigger game for LSU, Florida. You're asking, you know, if they lose, can the wheels come off? I think they come off. They lose to Florida because it's a home game. Billy, they beat you last year. They should be a lot better than last year, I think. I know you don't, but and hell, the fact that you're down on Florida, what does that say? If LSU loses to them at home.
Yeah.
I think that's the critical game for LSU is Florida.
Yeah, well, not if you don't think Florida's going to be good. So,
well, that's what I mean. If you lose to that team.
But, I mean, I could say that about La Tech, you know. I mean, obviously, if they lose to La Tech or that what's that September 20th matchup?
You
didn't
realize Florida beat them last year, right? I mean, I don't know why you're saying La Tech or Southeast Louisiana. I mean, Florida beat LSU last year. It's not that crazy.
Yeah, but
it wasn't even that close. It wasn't like a fluke or anything.
It was an ugly game. It felt like LSU already quit, and Florida was just riding that momentum train. So that's just my opinion. It was at the Swamp. A lot of crazy things happened in that game for Florida to win. And yes, I get what you're saying. If they lose to Florida, but Florida is now a top 17 team. So, you know, I don't know if – losing them to or USC.
Florida had just lost to Texas 49-17.
Yeah.
And they turned around and beat LSU by double digits.
Yeah, I don't know what you're trying to fight about here, because I think losing to any of them, you know, should hurt Coach Kelly.
Well, you just compared Florida to La Tech.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you fire Coach Kelly if you lost to La Tech?
I don't know. I just think Florida is that critical game for old LSU in the first month.
God, what a September 20th. Now, who is that again?
Southeast Louisiana.
What a logo, man. Looks like a family crest, you know, something you see at the end of the driveway.
It's like not Lord of the Rings, but Game of Thrones is kind of what it reminds me.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, so many. I mean, we're damn near an hour in here, Shane. We had scrimmages all across the SEC. All right, so I'm going to give you all the notes that I have about all these, but let's go team by team. And I wanted to do this specifically starting with the teams that got quarterback competition, Shane.
Yes.
Missouri, second scrimmage. Eli Drinkwitz says it is a two-man battle now, so at least that's good. Sam Horn, Bo Prabula, of course.
Yeah.
No turnovers on offense. So that was good, but no separation in the quarterback competition. The battle continues. According to Drink, good job by both quarterbacks. Was really looking to see some separation today, but did not see it. Does that do anything for you? Does that concern you? Does it tell you they got two good quarterbacks? I don't know. What's your read on the fact that we're two scrimmages in, we're nowhere close apparently to naming a starting quarterback, or maybe they are, and they're just keeping it close to the vest. But
yeah.
I believe they opened this up, and the media got to watch this one. And by all accounts, it was, you know, they both had good plays. They both, you know, were shaky at times. Does that change anything for you with Mizzou?
I'd like to have a little separation by now. You know what I'm saying? And again, I don't feel like August 28th, Arkansas, whatever, peanut butter, or whoever they are, Purple Bears. I don't think that's a crazy matchup, but this is a schedule that ramps up real quick after that, and a must win on September 6th with Kansas. And I feel like, I don't know about you, Mike, but sitting here 18 days out, I'd like to have whoever that guy is getting all the reps right now. So I would say it has raised a little bit of concern for me.
Hey, damn, Woo Pig's back, Shane, with another donation, $10. Don't run from the conversation, cousins, and don't hide from the statement. Cuz, are you not losing sleep over Arkansas?
No, not at all. I'm glad Nico's out of here so he can't ruin this ass beating that Arkansas is about to get. Hey, I will say this. I look forward to seeing a lot of Arkansas. I was trying to pick out what Tennessee game I wanted to go to this year. Uh-huh. And Arkansas and Oklahoma are the two that I'm going back and forth on. I think I'd like to see Arkansas just because they don't come up here that much. So hopefully I can see Woo Damn Pig. And if I'm wrong, man, I will definitely apologize. Screenshot this and remind me. But I'm not going to. So you can go ahead and delete it.
You're going to have to eat some barbecue or something as a punishment.
Oh, was that it? Oh, yeah. It was a barbecue sandwich every point. Yeah. Let's do that. Everybody said, that's a win-win for Cousin Jay. No, but hell, 17, that's 17 barbecue sandwiches. That take a while.
Yeah.
Damn, look at my face getting red. All right. Blood pressure just spiked just thinking all them barbecue sandwiches I'm probably going to have to eat.
Hey, shout out Gunner, Shane. Gunner Ward, he just gifted a membership, Shane. He gifted it to Stephanie Lee. Stephanie,
welcome to the family.
Appreciate you, Gunner. Big LSU fan. I take back everything I said about LSU. They're going undefeated. And then shout out Dale Butler, just became a member, Shane. Hell Dale, yeah.
Welcome to the family.
Hey, but back to Mizzou real quick here, Shane.
Yeah.
I wanted to share this. So, Ahmad Hardy, amazing running back, right?
Yeah.
Predicting big things for him this fall?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't play. Ooh, now why? That's cause for concern, right?
Right.
Here's what Drink said. He proved to us in the first scrimmage we don't have to tackle him live again. So, no, he's $1 million. And the good news is, freshman running back Marquise Davis, they said, stole the show, Shane, with effectiveness running the football. So, we may be a little bit deeper than I realized at tailback, and obviously that's good news, but I don't know. That just kind of stood out to me. Maybe we got a double-headed tandem here at running back.
I mean, you got to have it. You got to have a committee, man. It can't just be one guy. I do think that it's going to probably be an 80-20, but we've got to have some dudes come in to give Hardy some, you know, a spell a time or two.
Yeah. All right, now, speaking of quarterback competition, Shane.
Yes.
Oh, buddy. Speaking of being dad, I mean, this is kind of part of it, but still a three-man battle, apparently, on Old Rocky Top with Joey Aguilar, Jake Merklinger, and the freshman George McIntyre, Shane. Josh Heupel said all three of those guys have shown some good characteristics, some special things with the ball. managing the game, blah, 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 eliminating negatives. But here's the key, Shane. I don't anticipate us dramatically changing the reps following this scrimmage. Joey Aguilar apparently threw a pick six during the scrimmage. George McIntyre, the freshman, apparently he looked the best.
Yeah.
But he went mostly against the second and third teams. So I don't know what the hell to make of that. But it just seems like, you know, we're either further away from an answer here. And maybe that was to be expected because, again, this is Joey Aguilar's first time in his camp, but with Tennessee, of course. But I don't know. What's your thoughts on Tennessee having still a three-man, apparently, quarterback battle?
I mean, we got more quarterbacks than we do receivers right now. So, I mean, if they're not getting arrested or banged up, it just feels like these guys ain't got a chance. So, I've heard a couple of things here as well, and I feel like it's more of a two-headed monster. Similar to Mizzou, I feel like this situation, this one's more concerned for me than the Missouri one because Syracuse can beat you. And I feel like we've got to really get this thing straightened out here sooner or later. So I would imagine before the week's up, we'll have a guy being the QB1 there in Tennessee.
Now, again, it's good news, bad news, right? Because apparently the Tennessee defense, the first team at least,
yeah,
allowed no scores. So maybe the defense is going to carry him again. He'll carry him all the way to the playoff last year. Preseason All-American cornerback Shane Gerard McCoy. Yeah. Back on the practice field in recent days. That's great news. He didn't play in the scrimmage, but obviously progressing there to get back. And Heupel did say their new running back, the Duke transfer, Star Thomas, dramatically different player in camp. So it's not all bad for Tennessee, yeah. But it is bad because allegedly Chris Brazel arrested, suspending license. Again, he's not been practicing. He's projected starter. And that's the Knoxville News reporting that he got arrested, driving suspended license. Thoughts on that? And I don't know. I mean, it just seems like there's a little bit of a, I don't know if culture is the problem, but it seems like there's a little bit problem brewing behind the scenes with Tennessee.
I wouldn't say suspended license. I mean, who hasn't done that, right? I mean, that's a requirement in East Tennessee. I feel like the bigger concern is the coaches not knowing his license are suspended to begin with. It feels like if there is any active capiases or warrants or anything like that, that the coaches should know this. So they can get this cleared up. So you're blaming the coaches? Yes, absolutely. These are kids, Mike. These are poor, innocent children that don't even know where. I mean, have you tried to get to Knox County? County clerk's office.
I have not.
It is an absolute nightmare. So, I mean, I guess you could do it online, but if it's suspended, he probably had to go to a court. Couldn't do it because he's working out or he's building houses for habitats or something. I don't know what he's doing, but I'm sure it was a good reason. And I hope that they get him cleared up sooner than later.
Comments or thoughts on this Bear Bear SEC, Shane? Auburn is crazy enough to hire Jimbo after firing Hugh.
Did you hear Jimbo's wanting to get back in?
Yeah, we talked all about it when you were too good to show up.
Sorry.
But no, I mean, I don't think any SEC team is touching Jimbo. Not as a head coach.
No. Meh, I'm sure there's let me ask you this, Mike. If we're being honest, if Mississippi State job opens up, I'm trying to think. Maybe Kentucky job opens up. You think that they wouldn't entertain a guy like Jimbo?
Perhaps. I mean, he's got experience, certainly.
Yeah.
Knows how to recruit. He would be an upgrade for Mississippi State, I think.
Yeah. So no job. I feel like there is a job. It may not be in the Southeastern Conference, but I do think that there is a couple interesting spots that they would entertain it, and it would be a cheap hire because, you know, Texas A&M still paying them.
But Bulldog says, don't put that evil on us. Yeah, it reminds me of – I know they're completely different, but it reminds me of Will Muschamp. When he got fired at Florida and he got hired at South Carolina, I mean, it was, like, obvious, right, the day they hired him. Like, if he couldn't get it done at Florida, how is he going to get it done at South Carolina? If Jimbo couldn't get it done at A&M, how is he going to get it done at Mississippi State?
Yeah.
I don't think any SEC programs touching him.
And there's a couple like this. I saw Gus Malzahn. He's been on a short list on a lot of these things for the next Auburn job. It's like you forget you fired the guy, and then after like so much time happens, you're like, man, he's had pretty good success there. So,
all right, staying on the theme of quarterback competition, Shane. Bama, they had their first scrimmage over the weekend.
Yes.
No interceptions, couple nice touchdowns, according to DeBoering. He said, hey, we only threw with three interceptions all camp, so there's that. And he was asked specifically about the quarterbacks. He said, hey, we're getting close. I would have said before camp that we've got to make a decision by the time we get to the second scrimmage, and I anticipate for sure that being the case. So they just had scrimmage one, not naming a quarterback, but by two, they probably will, and all signs point to this man, Shane, none other than Ty Simpson, no surprise,
yeah,
being that starting quarterback for Alabama. Does it change anything for you for Bama that Ty Simpson's likely the starting quarterback?
No, it's out of the three that we've talked about today, it's honestly the biggest surprise it's not been solidified. You know, I never really thought about Alabama having a competition because I was told it would be Ty's gig, you know. Now, Coach isn't texting me and telling me that, but I feel like this one, it's kind of surprised that it's lingered a little bit longer than expected.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's almost like – now, maybe the backups are – or I shouldn't say backups, but the competition, maybe it is a little bit heated, you know?
Yeah. You always wonder, like, it's because – Ty's been sucking, or is it like they're doing better back there, you know?
Hey, shout out JS Warrior, Shane, $20. Reading the Price by Armin Katane and John Talty. Really good book, by the way. I highly recommend it. Chapter 11, The Rise and Fall of Jimbo Fisher. Scott Woodward really wanted him at LSU at the end of 2021, and I think that relationship is still the same. It is, but I mean, that's an eternity in college football. 2021.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. You know, it's kind of hard going back that far. But there's coaches that were deemed elite, like Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley was probably, God, who wouldn't want Lincoln Riley? Now at Southern Cal, they're like, good God, how do we get rid of Lincoln Riley? You know what I mean? Like, some coaches rise and fade, and I don't know. I mean, you can't bring Jimbo to LSU, can you?
What surprises me, I feel like, sometimes we give these coaches too much credit when ultimately it comes down to them just having one or two special pieces of talent on their roster. And it just kind of launches that momentum. I always think about Jim because everybody goes back to that Florida State team, which was absolutely loaded, you know, yeah. But that was like a one hit wonder. He just never could put it together after that. And I mean, he's always been able to find talent. He's just not been able to do anything with it. So I think that's where coaching really separates, because you aren't developing. You're not getting, you know, the best out of what you have there. So, yeah. But then I've also seen the opposite where I feel like good coaches just never really got a good shot because they just never could have the roster that I felt like they needed. So,
right. But here's damning statement on Jimbo.
Yeah.
Even when they were struggling at A&M.
Yeah.
They played Alabama well, right? So you say, yes. Well, how's that damning? I mean, it was proof that when Jimbo got locked in, he could coach.
Yeah.
But about, you know, eight times a year, he wouldn't get locked in. Mm-hmm. And he was making $10 million a year. Yeah. You can't get locked in on that. I mean, that's coaching malpractice. If he coached every game like he coached those Bama games,
yeah,
Texas A&M would have been better. You know, they would have been significantly better, I think.
Yeah, and the locker rooms, the culture, I mean, we've heard a lot of bad stories after the fact, and I wanted to give Wu another shot here real quick, and I want to be crystal clear here. I would, without a doubt, take Talon Green right now in Knoxville, Tennessee. Yeah. Is that how you say his name, Talon? No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, I all jokes aside, if Talon was the quarterback in Knoxville right now, Tennessee would be definitely, I wouldn't say shoe in, but pretty damn close to a shoe in for a college football playoff, in my opinion.
They're a shoe in without it, though. In your opinion.
No, I wouldn't say shoe in. I feel like Tennessee's going to have some okay. breaks go their way, especially with this quarterback room. But I do, I'll say this. If they had Taylen Green, no doubt in my mind, this would be a 10, maybe even 11 win Tennessee team.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree with that. Hey, now another one, Shane. I don't think this is quite a quarterback competition.
Yeah.
But they haven't named a quarterback yet. Shane, Georgia, they just had their first scrimmage. Gunnar Stockton, Ryan Puglisi, and even Ryan Montgomery apparently is looking pretty solid, Shane. But defense won the battle in the trenches. And how about this? This is not a guy we've talked up, Noah Thomas, a transfer receiver from A&M. One guy we haven't talked a ton about since his transfer, receiver Zachariah Branch from Southern Cal.
Yes.
He's a guy that everybody wanted, that Georgia went out on. He apparently had a really nice scrimmage. And the fact that he's breaking out, again, another weapon for them dogs. Everybody may be sleeping on Georgia. Any concern, though, that again, we're a scrimmage in yet, and we have not named a starting quarterback. I'm kind of curious why it's not been Gunner yet.
I'm 98% sure it's Gunner. You right. know what I'm saying? So I don't know what this is. Maybe this is that, you know, that whole week one thing, competitive edge, whatever, which I think is stupid. But ultimately, I feel like that's the case here. For some reason, we've got to hide from Marshall.
Can't tip him thunder and herd off, you know what?
Exactly. So, no, Gunner's your guy down there. All just right, like Ty's your guy in Alabama, but we'll play the game.
Right. Well, speaking of playing games, Shane, Florida had their first scrimmage of camp. DJ Lagway, he did participate in 7-on-7, but did not participate, Shane, in the 11-on-11 scrimmage. And this is maybe the most peculiar. I mean, Billy Napier says some weird shit, right?
Yeah.
Here's what he said. I think the big thing would be we're going to have to play complementary football regardless of who's playing quarterback. Uh-huh. If you do your homework here, 85% of the time, the team is going to play with two quarterbacks. History is the best indicator of the future. So he's basically saying we're going to play two quarterbacks most like what is he talking about? 85% you play two quarterbacks. How many elite championship teams play two quarterbacks, and I can't think of many. Maybe he is talking specifically Florida, Tebow and Leak. I mean, that's the one everybody goes back to.
Yeah.
That's like the only one I can think of. Jalen Hurts, Tua, I guess, but that was, they don't have Jalen Hurts and Tua in Gainesville right now.
No, and I feel like if you don't have any injuries, 100% you're not swapping quarterbacks.
Right.
I mean, well, maybe they're like a trick play here or there if you got a Mike Wright in your locker room or something. But I feel like, no, this is more of a concern about the health of DJ Lagway and, man, a concern on those betting lines too. So maybe in Florida you should have went to under. But I just feel like, I don't know, man. I just don't know. I have no idea how this thing plays out. And I would say this. I am more nervous the further we go into this thing about the future of DJ Lagway down there in Gainesville.
Yeah, I mean, it just had some time. I mean, he needs the reps, you know?
Yeah.
It's again, he didn't do spring.
Yes.
It's limited now. I mean, it's questionable. But you know what's not questionable,
what's
Shane?
That?
Jaden Ball had a 40-yard touchdown run, so he
unreal.
I think he's going to be as beastly as we've been hyping him up. And they say linebacker Aaron Charles was also maybe the MVP of the whole damn scrimmage. So they got a lot of players down there in Florida. I don't think it's just the DJ Lagway show, as much as Cousin Shane's trying to make it. But, again, if we're talking playoff, we're talking potential championship, yes, cannot get that done without DJ. So that's going to be fascinating to see. How about Texas, Shane? They had their first scrimmage. Defense won the day, apparently. That's pretty standard across the board. But, Shane, Arch Manning and Ryan Wingo allegedly connected on three touchdowns. So it's pretty wild when your defense wins the day, yet your Heisman candidate scoring three touchdowns to your breakout receiver. So thoughts on old Arch having allegedly three touchdowns and Ryan Wingo being dominant after missing a little bit of camp early.
I try not to get too excited about it because I've got four more years of watching this, apparently, if you ask his grandfather. But no, seriously, this is the hot train rolling. This is, I mean, how can you not be super excited about what Texas is going to look like this year? If you're a Longhorn fan, I mean, you are booking. I mean, literally, you are booking hotels for the national championship because you're there. So, big year, and they keep rolling like this. It's going to be tough, man. I mean, the paparazzi around this kid, he ain't even going to be able to go out and eat in town, you know? He can't now, I would imagine. He's got to Uber everything.
Yeah, well, he's a hell of a player, Shane.
Yeah.
But he's no John Mateer. Come on, Mateer, Shane. Oklahoma had their scrimmage over the weekend. No turnovers from Mr. John. Runs like a Mateer there. So that's great news. Again, I think defense was probably the winner here based on what I heard. But a little bit of unfortunate news, Shane. Starting offensive lineman, projected left tackle, Jacob Sexton, injured.
Yeah.
I don't think it's significant by any means, but I really don't know how long that could be. So Oklahoma, that's one position you literally can't afford a bunch of injuries is offensive line. So hopefully he gets right back into action, but that could be devastating if it is significant.
Oh yeah. You think this is, I mean, the Sooners probably just freaked out when they heard the left tackle got banged up. This is kind of what held them back last year. Forget all the other stuff. I felt like that offensive line was such a key piece to the lack of success Oklahoma had last year. So you're right. It's not as thin, I don't think, as last year, but you cannot afford to lose anybody right now.
Mm-hmm. And then in Arkansas, they had a scrimmage, Shane. Apparently running back Mike Washington was the standout, according to Sam Pittman, a 62-yard touchdown. Second play of the game, Shane. That was a pass from Taylen Green. I'm sure the pass set him up. Mike Washington also had a 40-yard touchdown run. And according to Sam Pittman, Taylen Green had, five or six touchdowns. So right back to Woo Pig here, Shane, hyping up Taylen Green. Sounds like he looks like $1 million in the scrimmage. Now, we could, you know, literally everything we say about these scrimmages, you could say, well, quarterbacks can win the Heisman, or you could say, well, we don't have defense this year. So yeah. I don't know where the truth is, but I would rather my potential All-American quarterback look like $1 million in the scrimmage, and that's what the Razorbacks got.
They said Sexton had a mild concussion, which, again, I don't know what a mild concussion is, but, you know, it's funny. When I was growing up, they just called them stingers, and you were told to get back out there. No wonder I have trouble forming sentences, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, do you get fired up, though, hearing about Taylen Green throwing five or six touchdowns?
Hell yeah. Crown that. That's why you think, Woo Pig coming at me, man. They're ready. They're ready to win a national championship. And I'm going to be honest with you. When you got a guy like Taylen Green, this is a team that you look at that could absolutely surprise you, because he's one of those guys that will just completely take over a football game. And if you've not seen it, then you just haven't played Arkansas. I did play Arkansas, and we got destroyed when we went over there.
All right, last one, Shane. South Carolina, they had a scrimmage as well. Again, it sounds like the defense won the day, which, quite honestly, I think that's probably great news for the Gamecocks, given that we already know what they have on offense. And Rashul Faison, he participated in the scrimmage, Shane. So I think that is a promising update that again, they anticipate that he's getting cleared. He's obviously in game shape and all that. So good news, I think, for the Gamecocks. And then shout out, people were seeing this, Shane. I don't know if you saw it, but I think this comes from the Netflix series.
Yeah,
Shane Beamer in his office culture meets climate, and of course that he's got culture in the garnet there, and he's got climate in the Kentucky blue there. So that's a shout out old Mark Stoops there. But I just think that's hilarious.
Wonder if we got any notes up there on his window.
First coach fired is up there. You know what?
Oh man, I apologize for that, but I guarantee we probably got a few scribbles up there.
And then, hey, I did say I don't have any updates from Vanderbilt, but check this out, buddy. This is the stadium's done. That's the update. That's where they had the crane not that long ago, what, a year ago. So, man, that sucker's looking pretty nice, isn't it?
Look at all them construction guys.
Yeah. They're working overtime. So they're just trying to get this shit done for football. You know what?
I love it. I absolutely love it, man. And, hey, say what you want. We've been bitching about Vanderbilt getting their stuff together. This is a first sign, you know, now that they got to start taking NIL seriously. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? And, again, I give Pavia a hard time. I do like that he's the front runner here for bringing Vanderbilt up out of the ashes, because that's exactly where he's the phoenix, if you will, over there in Nashville.
All right. Anything else, buddy, before because that's all I got on this one.
No, just remember, tomorrow going to be live early in the morning, 7:30 for the SEC Hangover. And the show topic we're going to talk about is, where is John Gruden going to land? And if you want to be on the show, if you go to that last one and click on the notes button, there's a little tab there where you can leave a voicemail and give me your opinion, and I'll include it on the show in the morning. I'll also post it on Twitter here in a little bit. So I'm just curious their thoughts, Cousins' thoughts on where John Gruden should land. But yeah, it's going to be fun, and I appreciate all the Cousins in here today, in here tomorrow. Football's here, buddy. It is a couple of weeks away, and we are gonna have kickoff, and it's gonna be so nice, isn't it, that we're gonna be sitting here on Sunday telling you about, I can't believe he lost this game, I can't believe they won this game. It's just close, man.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. And I probably should have led with this at the beginning, but if anybody missed it, over the weekend, we put out interviews with Chris Lowe, ESPN senior writer, so go check that out.
Yes.
Brett Ciancia, Pick Six Previews, previewed every single SEC team. So even on our days off, not really off, there's still content coming your way. Kickoff right around the corner. We're trying to get you guys all the latest info, keep you locked in till kickoff. But, hey, that's all I got. And we appreciate each and every one of you, and we'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols. Razorbacks.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.